I used to have a practice where I would read through the Bible in a year. So I'd start on January, and then by the time January rolled around again, I had read the whole thing. Well, nearly 2 years ago, I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore, even though I had done it for probably 30 years. So I used to get up every morning and do kind of an Evelyn Wood speed reading program through the Bible. And I realized about the only thing I was getting out of that was bragging rights. Oh, look at me. I read through the Bible again this year. And I decided I wanted more out of my Bible reading than that. So I started a verse-by-verse study of the Bible. It took me 13 months to finish the New Testament. It took me 3 months to finish the book of Genesis. And as I was studying Genesis, I realized how applicable it is. So today, I'm launching a sermon series on Genesis, and I have no idea how long this is going to take us, but let's just say a while. I love to watch a variety of birds out of our large bedroom window. We see cardinals, blue jays, mourning doves, red-headed woodpeckers, yellow finches, and then what my dad calls junk birds, sparrows, robins, and squirrels. Oh, I know you're saying, squirrels aren't birds. Really? Then why are they eating out of my neighbor's bird feeder? I believe God created these birds' ancestors. Now, there are people who disagree with me on where birds come from, and I get sometimes people pretty mad at me when I say, well, I don't really believe in evolution. I actually believe in creation. I base my belief on the very first verse in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis is over 3,000 years old, and think about all the books you own. Most of them will be utterly and totally forgotten in about 50 years, but not Genesis or any other book in the Bible. Genesis covers about 2,000 years of human history. It covers about the same amount of time as the rest of the Bible does in total. Sometimes when you turn a page in Genesis, you are skipping over hundreds of years. Anybody ever hear the word tohu bohu before? Oh, it's a word. It's a Hebrew word. Tohu bohu appears several times in the Bible. Tohu bohu means chaos, disorder, confusion. And the Bible says it for the first time in Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here's how this goes when we insert the Hebrew word. The earth was tohu bohu, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Before God began creating, the earth was in total chaos. It was tohu bohu. The ancients said that the pre-created earth was a place that could not be put into any semblance of order. According to them, this is the secondary reason why the creation was so miraculous. God not only made something out of nothing, but out of a nothing that was so unruly that it could not be tamed. The earth, so to speak, was having a bad hair day, but God stepped in, untangled it, and created order. Colossians 1:16 and 17 tells us Jesus set up the universe to run in an orderly manner, and he continues to this day to keep things in running order. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Because of Christ, all things were created and remain created. The functioning and order of the universe depends on Christ even more than it does on gravity. We live in a Christ-centric universe. There are billions of stars and planets in the universe, yet they travel in orderly orbits. The movement of the planets in our solar system are so precise that scientists can calculate exactly where a planet will be 100 years from today. Christ brought this order to the planets and everything else in our universe. Without Christ, there would be no order. If Christ pulled out of the universe, it would return to tohu bohu. We are watching in real time our world turning to tohu bohu. The further our society moves away from Christ, the more chaotic and troubled it becomes. And the further we personally move away from Christ, the more tohu bohu our lives become. The return to tohu bohu can be seen in the celebrations on social media over the assassination of Charlie Kirk by an element who sees him as a political enemy. It can be seen in the murders of two women last week because of the color of their skin. It can be seen every weekend in the shooting deaths of young black and brown men on inner city streets. It can be seen in the recent killing of Catholic school children. This was not God's design for our world. This is complete and utter tohu bohu. God's first step was to eliminate tohu bohu. He separated the water from the land and the light from the dark. This action created important boundaries. These boundaries were so important that the world would stay in order and not fall back into tohu bohu. God puts up boundaries on things to help them stay put and perform at their maximum. The World Cup soccer tournament shows how important boundaries are. People who speak different languages, coming from different countries, they come together and they compete. Now here's a question. How can two teams of 11 players each play a fast-paced game without being able to say more than three or four understandable words to each other? The answer is boundaries. If there were no boundary lines on the field, the game could not be played. There would be utter bedlam and chaos. To avoid tohu bohu, everyone agrees to the boundary lines and they play by one set of rules. In life, boundaries are just as important as they are in sports. Boundaries keep us in line. Boundaries are established lines that are not to be crossed. Kids are constantly testing the boundaries. When a kid crosses a boundary line, you need to send them right back over where they belong, or they will live a chaotic life. We all have boundaries. A personal boundary is the comfortable space or distance between us and another person. Infants haven't formed personal boundaries, so you can put your face right against theirs and kiss them and rub your nose on their nose, and they don't mind. But don't try that with your 13-year-old. Our personal boundaries start forming about the age of 3 to 4, and they become fixed in our early teen years. Personal boundaries are social and cultural constructs. They are formed with the help and the part of our brain, which is called the amygdala. The amygdala is a part of our brain that is activated when there is a perceived threat to our safety. When someone gets too close to you, your amygdala says, "Jump back, Jack." Americans like to stand at an arm's length. People in Europe are comfortable getting a little closer, and people in the Middle East are comfortable getting even closer yet. I remember being at a pastor's conference, and a pastor from another culture was talking to me, and he was all up in my space. But I knew that his personal boundary was different than mine, so I fought the urge to step back. But when I couldn't take it anymore, I stepped back, and guess what happened? He stepped forward, and I stepped back again. He stepped forward, I stepped backward. I'm sure it looked like we were doing a weird version of the tango. We humans have boundaries to keep you, you, and me, me. A repeated violation of boundaries leads to codependency, among many other not so great things. God is a God of boundaries. God's boundaries always keep tohu bohu at bay. He sets definitive boundaries on our behavior in the Ten Commandments. These are a perfect example of God's boundaries on human behavior. If your life is chaotic, if it is out of control, it might be that you have crossed one of God's boundary lines. Humans repeatedly step over God's boundaries. The more we violate God's boundaries, the more our lives become tohu bohu. The flood shows us what happens when the boundaries completely collapse. God allowed the waters to cross their boundaries, and they consumed the earth, and the world descended into chaos again. Tohu bohu is the natural trajectory of the universe and of human life. Ordered things do not stay that way all by themselves. Everyone and everything around us is falling apart all the time. The quality of everything that exists in the universe deteriorates gradually over time. Disorder is a never-ending process that affects everything and everyone every second of every day. What do you think aging is? Tohu bohu. Buildings left alone become ruins. Erosion reduces mountains to hills. Cars left in a junkyard rust and deteriorate. All great civilizations fall apart. Your body, your mind, your relationships, your spiritual life, the house you live in. Tohu bohu is constantly at work trying to disorganize every single one of those things. Left alone, everything in your life will move toward chaos. Alberto and Tracy remind me of this every time they see something in the building that has deteriorated. If it is not taken care of, they remind me, it will deteriorate, it will rot, and it will be destroyed. How many of our lives could be described as tohu bohu? Outwardly, things seem fine, but inwardly, there's chaos. A life of chaos is a life missing divine order. The world is going back to chaos, and this is a threat all of us live under. It's a reality we must face. Isaiah 45, 18 and 19 gives us a glimmer of hope, and I want to read this passage with our word appropriately inserted. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is God who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it tohu bohu. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in tohu bohu. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. God made himself visible. He wants us to find him. And when we can't find God, it means there's too much tohu bohu or chaos in our lives, and we can't see him through all of the mess. God can bring order to chaos. He brings order to disorder. Uncertainty is replaced by certainty. Aimlessness is replaced by purpose. Emptiness is replaced by meaning. Hatred is replaced by love. Darkness of the soul and mind is replaced by the light of Christ. Eternal damnation is replaced by eternal life. God's anti-chaos campaign began in Genesis 1:2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The idea is the Spirit of God was deliberately observing or carefully watching. The Spirit was brooding, studying, examining, planning. Only after this hovering did God take action and start bringing order to chaos. Each creative day, God brought order out of chaos. This is the way God works in our lives too. His Spirit broods, studies, examines, and maps out plans for us. If we let him, each day can be a day of God bringing order into our lives. Each day can be a day that God creates something new for us. Amy Winehouse was an English singer and songwriter. Her life was marked by tohu bohu. She was utterly and completely chaotic. And despite the fact that Amy had an incredible voice, and this voice made her famous around the world, she gave herself over to drugs and excessive drinking. To make things worse, she married Blake Felder, who is a known drug addict. Felder's role in Amy's death is undeniable. He introduced her to cocaine, crack cocaine, and heroin. And when she lost control, came completely out of control, he dumped her. And he sold naked pictures of her to the press. And after he died, he decided he would really play it up for the press and let them photograph him in front of her grave. When Amy did crack for the first time, a light went out of her eyes and it never came back on. She won 5 awards at the 2008 Grammys. And as she came off the stage with her award, she turned to one of her childhood friends and said, "This is so boring without drugs." The chaos in her life was so extreme, so obvious, that a handful of her loved ones encouraged her to go to rehab. But she refused, telling them, "I'm not like some messed up person." Amy's mother wanted her to go to rehab, but admitted that she found it difficult to stand up to her daughter. Amy asked her dad what she should do, and he was more interested in the money that Amy was bringing in than he was her recovery. So he told her not to go. So she didn't. Ironically, one of her most famous songs is titled Rehab. Part of it reads, "They tried to make me go to rehab, but I said, no, no, no. They tried to make me go to rehab, but I won't go, go, go." Hindsight reveals that Amy should have gone to rehab. Instead, she died on July 23rd, 2011. She was only 27 years old. Late-night comedians had no pity for this woman. They made her the butt of their jokes. And even though no one was more publicly sick, no one was more publicly in danger, no one received less sympathy than Amy Winehouse. People wanted to make money off of her, dead or alive. Well, she's dead now, and there's plenty of blame to go around. But she's the one who paid the ultimate price for crossing boundaries that she had no business crossing. Tohu Bohu entered into her life and killed her. Amy was a chaotic person, and only now that she's in her grave has the chaos stopped. You don't have to wait till you're dead for the chaos to stop. You don't have to wait for God's peace to enter into your life until you close your eyes for the final time. Allowing Tohu Bohu to flow into our lives like the great flood is not how God wants us to live. Instead of focusing on the chaos in your life, focus on the Lord. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The motto of the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance is, "Out of chaos, hope." Out of chaos, hope has been God's modus operandi from the very beginning. Into a great, big, unruly nothing, characterized by tohu bohu, God spoke the initial words of hope for all creation. "Let there be light." There was light, and with the light came hope. John 8:13, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When God sees us trapped in tohu bohu, when God sees our lives so chaotic and out of control, he says, "Let there be light." This light crosses the boundary from heaven to earth. This light crosses the boundary of sin and brings order back into our souls. Some of you may be in a complete state of tohu bohu. Many of our loved ones are in a complete state of chaos. As Jesus' disciples, we are to let our lights so shine. My friends, shine your light and help disperse the tohu bohu in our world. This morning, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. And Amy and Jim are going to pass the elements to you in your pews this morning because my assistant is ill today and she can't serve you at the altar. So plan B. And as Amy and Jim pass out the elements, Mike and I are going to sing a song to prepare our hearts for communion.